WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our Wise Conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. I was at Wise Market on Sunday. I can vouch that the $6 signature crab cake is the best $6 signature crab cake I've ever had. They did give me some potato chips with that, but the true story at the Wise in Fullerton was the Bell Garden sub. Delicious. It had like some Rob in there. I mean, I'm not from Bell or Garden. I'm from Dunn and Dock, sometimes some S&X. We didn't have the Bell Garden sub over there. We had the Captain Harvey. So we had different things, Sub Haven down in Essex and whatnot. But this guy is in Essex. And they're remodeling down there as well. And we had a lot of things. It's been like a month since I've gotten together with Todd Schuller. So long that he's decided to like grow a beard. So long that I've let my hair down. And I was with your dude, Johnny O, on Friday. I'm wearing my Costas shirt because Costas is celebrating 50 years. And we celebrated the crab cake there. I had a crab cake stop for the very first time in my life, Todd, where I did not have a crab cake. I did take my wife home one. I had crab imperial because I feel like royalty when I'm over on North Point Boulevard and I got the cream spinach. And Johnny O, ever since you and I got together, I think Johnny O likes me more since you've become involved in our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll get you anywhere, you know, I'll introduce you around anybody you want to know, you know.
No, dude, I don't even associate you with Johnny. I've never seen you and Johnny O in the same room together other than his name being above your ear. Every time I have you on the show, on the video cam, I've never seen you in the same room, so I don't really associate you with each other, and I didn't even the whole time I was with him on Friday having a crab cake with him. But one important thing is that you're remodeling, and because you were a former politician and you hear from constituents, here's where I am. They're opening Colgate Elementary soon, and I'm going to be a part of the ribbon cutting there, and it's one of the – my wife would tell you it's one of like – the weird, perverse things in my 50s that I'm obsessed with getting my old elementary school open in a way that I wasn't even with the high school. Because the high school, they invited me there when they blew it up and it was on a Ravens game day and I didn't go. And then they built it and I wasn't invited to the ribbon cutting somehow. And I gave Don a raft of when Kevin was alive. So then they put me in the Hall of Fame. So I got to go. It was great. But like when I saw how beautiful Dundalk was, I now need to go into the new elementary school. So that's my constituent. I'm not even a Baltimore County resident, although I'm a landowner and a taxpayer in Baltimore County. I'm looking forward to having this. So that's my Johnny O beef. I have no issue with, you know, any of the taxes or this or that. Like my thing is when you open Colgate, I need to be invited. And if he does that, I'll put a lawn sign up for him.
Well, there you go. No, I think Colgate and our renovation and Johnny O, it all dovetails into the East Side revitalization. We had a beautiful Essex Day this past weekend. Like I said, we're doing our whole front, our whole back, our roof. We haven't remodeled in 50 years probably. And Mark and I didn't own the building until, you know, in 2 years ago. So and right before the pandemic. But now that we've got it, and now that, you know, we think the worst of the pandemic is behind us.
Well, you also want to declare where your home is for good, right?
This is it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You could have moved a mile in Essex and had a place, but you decided this was the best move to stay where you are.
Absolutely. You know, we looked around within Essex and we thought about doing some other stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, it made the most sense for us to be here, you know, where our predecessor law firm has practiced the same kind of law for 50 years. You know, it is our home. We've put our flag in the sand and now we're going to hopefully, take what is a kind of an ugly building. I'm not going to lie. I mean, we're aware of it. And we're going to make it something beautiful right here on Eastern Avenue that we can be proud of.
Is it going to have running water? I mean, I need like some sort of fountainy water wall. I mean,
a water element of some sort, right?
Just because it's soothing. I'm in a friggin' law office. I got rear-ended. My back hurts. I'm getting screwed by the insurance company. I'm calling you. When I come in, I mean, you know, I'm getting off the freeway. I'm driving down Eastern Avenue. I'm in Essex. I want to walk into a little
low lighting.
Are you 21220? What are you?
221. Yeah.
I want to walk into a little 21221 Oasis of Zen is what I want to do before I sit with you and Mark and pour my heart and my soul out about how I'm getting screwed and I need people like you to help me, right? I mean, it's basically because people come into your place, they're not calm. Like they're
hurt, people are
angry, pissed, emotional, like right?
Yeah, maybe you're out on workers' comp and your money's not coming in, or you're injured in a car crash and money's not coming in and bills are coming in and you don't know what's going on. The people that we deal with on a regular basis are in a stress position. So we do want to provide comp. And
so did I give you a good idea then?
The water wall. Fine.
I'm just talking about the lobby I sit in.
The Nestor water wall. You know, maybe a statue of you or
look, something. We all know what the law office looks like. You walk in, there's law stuff, law people meet you, and then there's like Time Magazine and Sports Illustrated sitting there. It's been fingered through since the Jordan era, right? Like you don't want your place to be that way, right? Well, I'll tell you one thing. You're going to have this week. I mean, it's never good when bad things happen in life and you need to reach out to damngoodlawyer.com and our friends at Blondell Miller, but at least the football team won. Right?
Oh, like, man, huh?
Right? So to segue into the purple thing, because you and I haven't talked, and all these injuries happen, we haven't talked. You and I haven't talked since like the second week of the tour, right?
Like, yeah, it was like, 4th of July, you know? We were at the beach, you know? It was
30 crab cakes ago for me.
30 crab cakes ago, for sure. But, when Lamar's allowed to do Lamar things, you know? Like, I thought, if I'm not incorrect, and I watched it meticulously, the game in Las Vegas, it was 3 minutes to go in the third quarter before there was a design Lamar run call. He had had to scramble a couple of times, but I just don't understand why the greatest weapon in football doesn't get used. To me, he needs to be in the pistol formation. When they came out at Kansas City, play number one, pistol formation. Play
but
number
they
two,
went pistol from the 2 foot line.
Right. That is what I'm talking about. That's Lamar, right? Read somebody. Are you reading a linebacker? Are you reading a safety? Whatever. But you've got two things, you know, two primary options. You know, maybe it's a run pass option, or maybe it's a hand the ball off or tuck it in and pull it out. But that's what he needs to do. He needs to react every time he puts that. He's looking at that wristband with all those complicated plays. Like, he's a street baller, you know. Let him be. Let him. He's a reactor, you know. Like, some people are better at ping pong. Some people are better at billiards, you know. Like, I'm a ping pong guy. Lamar's a ping pong guy. Forget lining up the shot and all that.
Whoa. Where'd you get that? What loss? Did you get that at Tulane? Some What's that? People. That's a fascinating. Well, I don't want to veer too, because we could sit here and talk football all day, and we will, by the way. And Luke and I have been talking football, brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. And there's plenty of football coming, Detroit this week and all that. But this analogy of ping pong versus billiards, I've always likened, like, I played a lot of baseball. I played a lot of tennis, right? So the ball was coming at me. Right. I was a really good tennis player. I was a pretty good baseball player. I never had a problem hitting the baseball, right? I always said golf, the ball doesn't move. Golf, I would be really good at if I tried. If I was obsessed playing it 7 days a week, the ball doesn't move. So it's about your body. I agree with you with the football thing about reaction. And it's fascinating you'd say that, because I had a chat with Dennis Kolatsis about the sort of the deep thought of how his vision and how I had a kid on my playground. He wasn't the fastest kid, but you couldn't tackle him because he would dodge, move, left, juke, left, right, like a little bit of Barry Sanders. He wasn't fast. He was like a water bug. You couldn't grab him. And Lamar's been that kid forever, right? He's been that kid since he was 8 years old. He has the ability to read defenders' hips, feet, hands, eyes, helmet, body language in the way that Ray Lewis could do that reading offense to see which way things are going, so that he was always going toward the ball, right? And Lamar sees the reason guys break their ankles with him is he sees which way they're going to commit. And he keeps him committing in that direction. And then he's gone. And he's been doing it forever. And no one does that. No one has the space to do that. And there's no way to practice how to catch a butterfly.
And when you put him in a position to do that, to react and play his game, there's a lot of success. I get frustrated I'm sure the Ravens coaches have forgotten 100 times more about football than I've ever known. But I get frustrated when he gets tasks. Lamar, drop back 3 steps, fake the handoff, and pass to that guy. You know, when they've orchestrated something for him, and he has to sort of complete a task, I feel like that's mind-blowingly frustrating. When he has a read, when he has some play, you know, when it's street ball, I feel like he's pure success.
Well, when it's street ball, the defense has to communicate on the fly with the fastest man on earth with the football, who can at any point throw it to Mark Andrews or dump it off or dirt it or break your legs or run to the sideline. But the one thing that I've noticed about this, to your point, when he drops back, he's vulnerable.
Right.
When he's moving forward, can't catch him. No one can catch him.
Put him on the attack.
He doesn't stop.
Right. I'm a big Navy football fan, and I have been for years. And Navy has run the same offense, literally the same formation, for 20 years. They just, the old Fisher DeBerry at Air Force, you know, flex bone or whatever you want to call it. There are variations, but essentially it's the same play over and over again with multiple options. And you can drop back and pass all of a sudden from that formation. You throw people off, but by and large, I mean, to me, and they say like, that's such a trope, such a cliche, like it won't work in the NFL. You can't do it in the NFL.
Nobody's fast like that on Navy's field. And when they play Notre Dame, the linebacker shoots the gap and beats the snot out of them, and they lose 48-7, right? So it is different with a different caliber of athlete. In this league, you would say Odafe Owa in space against Lamar Jackson, that's as good as it's going to get. Lamar's going to beat him. Lamar's going to beat J.J. Watt. Lamar's going to beat T.J. Watt. Lamar's going to beat Eddie Watt. But it doesn't matter in that space. Lamar's right now, for now, and I don't know how long that lasts with his God-given ability and those kinds of quicks, but I would agree with you that when you make the defense have to become instinctive instead of set playish, that they're going to a space or they're going to a player, that it creates a kind of confusion that most NFL defenses aren't coached to, especially early in the year, they're not equipped. And then they get this left-handed, they have to eat left-handed for 3 hours. It'd be hard for me to eat a bowl of cereal left-handed to completion. Like literally, it's very, very difficult to play against him. And it's even more difficult in the fourth quarter with 70,000 people raining down on you to have to play against him.
Well, yeah, but Mahomes is the same animal, right? Like he is an attack creature and a react and read and react, right? He's a little more run pass option oriented. But the basic idea is there's your guy, and if not, you can tuck it, you know, like, and I think the old model. Now we watched Derek Carr 2 weeks in a row. He's that drop back guy, you know, like drop back and sling it. But
Derek Carr's changing plays at the line of scrimmage to get into set plays he likes. That was what Joe Flacco did. That's clearly what Peyton Manning ate off of. He came up, got a read, got a key, and said, we're going to overload right here, and I'm going to audible into that, and we're going to have 7 yards. And if I don't, I'm going to have Stokely over here. Like, there's a whole different thing going on with that than what I see this team trying to do offensively, which is get more helmets somewhere. And I said this earlier, and maybe this is an analogy to use, that when he snaps the ball in the pistol, jukes left, jukes right, he's breaking everybody's ankles, right? Then it's a punt. Like the minute that happens, that the scramble happens, and to your point with the Navy,
it's like an Ed Reed interception, you know, anything can happen now.
Yeah, the Navy offense, though, looked like the magnetic football game where everybody just kind of moved at the same sort of little wobble speed, and that's how the offenses sort of tumble into the defense. This is different, where you have a hyperspace button on number eight at any point. It doesn't move at that speed, and the traditional helmet on helmet, and we'll get the fullback out there to blow up the linebacker or crack down on the safety to get space. This, to me, if you freeze framed Lamar in the backfield with blockers, it looks more like a punt. It's more like that kind of space that you would have to see things out in front of you and then to react with, I've got a blocker, I don't have a blocker, I have three purple helmets here and one white helmet there, and I'm going to go there. And to your point, it's completely reactive on both. It's street ball. It's a punt, though, to some degree.
Right.
And in my mind, that's the way I think of it.
The Ed Reed interception is the same concept, right? When Ed Reed got the ball, you know, it was game on. Like, who knows? Everybody's out of position, essentially, and he's going to get the ball. You know, it didn't feel like when he intercepted the ball that he wasn't going to score, you know?
I said it was Devin Hester. Lamar is Devin Hester with the ball, and then you got to figure out how to get him down.
Yeah.
And he can still throw it for the first 6 yards.
Right. It's really fun to watch when it's churning. And I can't wait to have a 1 o'clock Sunday game that might kind of be over by halftime. Like, I can't take the high spikes in blood pressure this late at night, you know? Like, why does this keep happening to me, you know? Where's our 1 o'clock games, man?
Well, it starts this week in Detroit. Todd Schuller is here. He's with Blondell Miller Schuller. They help people when they're in distress. You can go to damngoodlawyer.com. Tell them what you do, because there's a whole bunch of different categories of law, but certainly you're in a space where we're all very familiar with, because we all get behind the wheel of a car every day.
We all do, and we all go to work. And if you're injured behind the wheel of a car, if you're injured at work, you need to get a hold of a lawyer. We are injury lawyers exclusively, although we fancy ourselves Essex community lawyers. We're going to get you to a spot. If you have a legal question or a legal problem, we want you to call us and we'll get you. We have a network of lawyers that we work with. We know who does what and who does what most effectively. But if you have an injury case, we believe that it's us that most effectively handles it. You're going to have medical bills piling up. You may have time off of work piling up. You're entitled to other money benefits. And the lawyers that are going to do the best job for you are the ones that aren't afraid to be in a courtroom and aren't afraid to take your case into a courtroom. We're not here to settle your case on the quick. We're going to do it the right way, and we're going to get the best result that we can get for you. And we've been doing that. I've been doing it for 20 years, and my partner, Mark Miller, has been doing it for 30. And our building here is filled with people. We have a 50-year tenured employee from our predecessor law firms. We have the capacity to do a really good job because we have the people here that know what they're doing. The institutional knowledge is most of the people that work here have worked here since before I was a lawyer. And they know how to get things moved, and they know how to get MRIs approved, and they know how to get settlement documents through. So, we have a lot of great resources here.
And it is technical.
It's high, workers' comp especially is very technical. So we end up doing a lot of workers' comp cases for other law firms who might do the car crashes or other stuff, but the technical nature of workers' compensation is such that a lot of other law firms will call us in and say, can you help us out with this? And when you have the staff that can move through the system, it really helps. And we have that here. So we're very blessed that way. Unfortunately, we're in this building. It's in such a terrible need of a renovation, but I saw the guys out there today working. We're going to get it done. We're going to have a little dust these next few months, and then we're going to have a building right here on Eastern Avenue that we can be proud of, and then hopefully the community's proud of as well.
I happen to know Mark Miller, your partner. I have to talk to him about this water wall and his Zen thing. Okay. I mean, I think there needs to be a cooling room, at the new, maybe call it a Baltimore Positive, Essex Positive. I don't know what to call it. We'll call it. So I got to pick something with you because I'm wearing my Costas shirt and you have your Johnny O thing behind, and I want to pick your your councilman mind, okay? Because I've had a lot of politicians on, right? And I had a I don't want to say we got sideways, but I would say we got sidetracked with a communications director recently. It wasn't recently. It was a couple years ago. And this is a communications director you know, and it's not Don Mohler, but it's in the Don Mohler tree. And Mohler and I go back and forth with this. So this is a true Baltimore positive, but it's more of a media debate. It involves John Harbaugh running off the podium last Monday night before I could get to the press conference, being one of three people in Las Vegas, and taking questions and asking questions and doing media. Okay. So every time I book a politician on, I call it a handler. You call it a communications person. We could call it a PR flack. We can call them anybody we want, right? In the modern era, they sort of want the questions ahead of time without saying that. They want to know the topics, or like I had Ben Cardin on last month. My poor friends down at the Ocean City Chamber of Commerce were like very worried that like there was going to be a script. And I'm like, Nestor doesn't do scripts. So like, and Ben Cardin doesn't expect me to. Ben Cardin's answered every question from every constituent. Ben Cardin isn't afraid of me, right? So nobody should be afraid of me. I've done 30 years without gotcha questions. I am what I am. But it's fascinating how much I hate it. Like as a journalist, to be green roomed, I've had all my sports writer buddies. We all got we got half crocked together down at the Guinness factory the other day, talking about old school journalism and asking coaches questions and them expecting, because they make $10 million a year, to have a few tough questions thrown their way about injuries or anything, right? Like it's part of the job. I would just say the green rooming part for me, you have awakened me to the Lamar Jackson part of this, right? Where you're like, you don't give a script to an improv actor. You know what I mean? Like literally, they work best that way. Bill Murray doesn't need a script. He just needs you to hang out and be funny with him. And Lamar is a little bit like that on offense, but on the interviewing people, I had so much fun with this, because what we've tried to figure out now, because you're my lawyer friend and you handle all my legal stuff, how I can answer people who want me to tell them what I'm going to talk to the guest about. And the truth is, this is the truth where Lamar and I are alike. And you know this because you've done 100 hours of radio with me now. I don't really know what I'm going to talk about before I talk about it. And if somebody handed me a script, it wouldn't be any good. And if I gave you a script, it wouldn't be any good. And if I really gave you a real script of the five exact things we're going to talk about, it would be terrible. So to your point, Lamar's got all these plays that might work in somebody else's world. Maybe that's the way Letterman does it, or the way awful radio show hosts do it. It's just not the way I do it. So what we've learned is the legalese of this now, and Mohler and I have had some fun with this, although he takes it very seriously, having been an elected, having been the PR guy, that we need the topics. And like, so here's what we want to do to get around that. I'm going to put in it that the topics are including but not limited to. That's my legal side. And Mohler said, this is so Mohler, man. It's so great. It's so politician-y, sort of slippery, that it's going to be a sampling of the potential topics that we may cover on the program today with the county executive. So I just want you to have some fun with that, because you weren't elected and you don't need a script from me. We just do this. You're not like, hey, dude, what are we going to talk about? I really need to know everything we're going to talk about. That's not my show. And that's not Lamar's show either.
No. You and I talk 5 seconds before we go on the air, and you know, it's, hey, is there anything you want to get into? You know, like if there's something hot button, that might be it. Right. And then we just kind of do our thing. I guess what's scary from the politician's standpoint, especially local politicians, I don't know how high level, you know, we're talking here, but it is frightening in the world of, viral video and, you know, everything being saved and recorded. It's tough going on record. Like I come away sometimes, you know, you and I will get political, we'll get national politics. It's probably terrible for anybody's business to strongly identify as pro-Trump, anti-Trump, you know, like, so I always think, like, not so much that you would be setting me up for a gotcha, but that something's going to come out of my mouth that could sink my business or whatever, you know, like go viral. And all of a sudden I'm the idiot who was talking about such and such in an insensitive manner or something like that. So I guess.
Well, we're all allowed to talk about whatever we want and whatever way we want to talk about it, publicly or privately, right? Like, we all have a public and a private voice. I hear that, but like you're coming on the show, we're going to have fun. Like I that's part of doing this for me is this would not be any fun at all for me or anybody else if this were scripted.
No, I can't imagine. I can't imagine, but I'm just trying to identify with the fear. You know, you're one election away from a loss in every elected office. If there is a topic that scares you, or, you know, if something surprises you and you come up the wrong way, I think that's probably the fear.
I think Johnny's
that
ready to talk about anything though, because he has, and you're ready to talk about anything because you have, and I'm sort of ready to talk about anything because I have.
Yeah. Johnny, I mean, for full disclosure, I'm a big Johnny O fan because I think he's doing a great job, but he was also my roommate when we were in Annapolis together, and we go back and we're old friends, but he's a very frank guy, you know, and he's strange. Like, you know, like there are things about him or the way he comes to, understand the world that aren't mine, you know, but like we're able to frankly articulate them in a way that I think helps understand. I think when you have somebody that you're communicating with that you can, is willing to expose their thought process, I think you can learn a lot more about.
Mueller and I get aligned. Like people think we're politically the same. We're way different on death penalty. You and I are way different on guns. Like, and even though we would vote for the same people, maybe, perhaps. I mean, I've been sitting with Republicans for since the last time I was with you. I have sat with Barry Glassman, Michael Steele, Larry Hogan, right? Like I am not afraid of anybody on any side of an aisle who wants to sit and talk to me, but I'm also not going to have Larry Hogan's people hand me the questions. He's already got the script of what the hell he's going to say. That was pretty clear. Like, right. Like he knows what he has all of his talking points, which made him kind of, quite frankly, for me, not the greatest guest. I mean, like Don and I had wildly different feelings about sitting next to him and talking to him about how honest Don thought he was honest as the day is long. I thought it felt like I was next to a politician with a script, and we spent the same hour together. I feel like, and I feel that way. Certainly sometimes when I talk to Coach Billick, he's got the things he says on NFL Network, and it just becomes this politician pulpit thing that I can't imagine if you're at the senatorial level. When I'm with Ben Cardin and when I'm with Chris Van Hollen and when I'm with other people, I feel like I get a lot of off script stuff that would probably make their communications director uncomfortable in that way. But that's the only way that's going to get them elected in my mind, is to come on my show and be comfortable with me, because I'm not lobbing hand grenades at anybody, but I'm lobbying tough issues. Yeah. But and maybe my point of view, and then say, why do you feel the way you feel about guns, Todd? Because that would be something that may make you unelectable to me.
Right. No, but you can get into scripty, you know, like that's another thing. I tell people the same thing every day. Like, here are the benefits you can expect. Once we file your workers' comp claim, it's going to take XYZ to get accepted. Once it's accepted, you get this, that. I started making YouTube clips of myself saying the same thing I say over and over again. And it's out of necessity. I mean, you have a checklist of, you want to inform your client of what to expect, but that can cause you to become
less
scripty.
Human.
Yeah. And so I can imagine at a Billick level, you know, where he knows that he wants to articulate a certain viewpoint on Lamar or the Steelers or whatever else he's going to, and you bounce from conversation to conversation and you end up falling into your script without, you know, trying to, you know, you're not trying.
Well, Harbaugh comes out every Wednesday with a script on the three or four things he wants to say and sort of knows the questions. And it's just, it's not very good. You know what I mean? Like, it's not interesting to me. And where Flacco was completely interesting to me every time, Ray Rice was interesting to me. I mean, I guess Suggs is interesting from some WWE stupidity level of things he may or may not say. But I've always found the really thoughtful football players to be when you ask them a question. The fact that they don't have a script or anybody in their ear tell them, don't say this, don't say that, say this, say this, don't say that, it becomes very apparent to me. And it's not in any way authentic or interesting or even true some of the times. And that I don't want my show to be that. Yeah. My show can't be that. It just can't.
Harbaugh's like that Belichick school of like, try to be surly and boring, you know, like, and I guess that comes from the Bull Durham speech too, right? Like there was a whole shtick about, you know, learn the cliches and,
but there's also part of recruiting your own fan base too, with information to keep people interested in the soap opera. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like Vince McMahon came out and George the Animal Steel like grunted and groaned and, you know, ate green turnbuckles, but it made you come to the match next week. You know, you can be terse and angry and upset and emotional after losses and stuff, but you can also recruit the community. The Ravens need to recruit the community. And they did the other night by winning. And I would tell you, and I've told everyone, the fan base at the end of the game, when I left the stadium, it felt to that crowd like they had won the AFC championship game. Like, and there were a lot of first timers there, a lot of young people there, a lot of different people in the stadium on Sunday night than I've seen. Parking lot, tailgate, all of the old church is gone. And this is going to be this new thing. And whether these are people that are going to go every week for $44 because of the airline deal, whether they're going to not go at all and just drink outside, I don't know. But the people in the stadium were having an experience with Ravens football that was unique to them. And they all weren't like me comparing it to Ray Lewis or Ed Reed or Joe Flacco or anything else. They were having their own thing, and that's good. That really, really helped them Sunday night to win that football game. I believe that because I think they had 40,000 people there who don't have tickets to the next game and might want to now come back because they had a great time.
Well, good. I mean, winning cures everything, right? Steelers lose, we win, move on to week three. Life's good, right? What do we have to worry about?
All we have to worry about is getting the Greenmount Station on Friday for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. Todd Schuler is our guest. He's a Blondell Miller Schuler. They call themselves Damn Good Lawyer. I'm going to let you go back to doing some damn good lawyering here. But, dude, Crab Cake Tour is out on the road now, okay? You're double vaxxed, right? Because you're intelligent, right?
Double vaxxed.
You're right. So,
ready for crab cakes.
Greenmount Station this week in Hampstead, and then we're with Mayor Brandon Scott at Coco's on the 8th. I am bringing it back to Baltimore County in October, Harford County. I got some things going on. I can't relay my dates on the 1st, 15th, 22nd, and 29th, but we're going out every Friday, and we're going to have a conversation. We're going to celebrate neighborhoods. I'm going to come to Essex soon for you, Todd, all right?
I can't wait to see you here.
I'm going to wait till you get the whole place remodeled. So when is it all going to be done?
Well, we know, for instance, that the door won't get here until the first part of December. So it's actively under construction right now.
When do you hope to have it done? When would be good for you?
I would be thrilled if we were having you and Johnny O and our local politicians here cutting a ribbon, you know, at the first of the year. That, to me, would be a happy...
I'll see you in April. Okay, all right, good. All right, that'll be... Did you get that?
I did. Yeah.
It's always longer.
I know how it goes. I've done it.
If you are cutting, how about this?
Opening day. Now,
you know, I gave Johnny O a hard time by Colgate, right?
Yeah.
So I don't, and he politicianed me because he knew I was going to hammer him. I didn't say a word in the first segment. And here's the problem. He doesn't know when. Right. They don't really have the date.
Sure.
So he hates a question like that because he knows I want, like, I got my calendar out. I'm like, come on, what's the date? Give me the range. He wouldn't even give me a range. So you've now given me a range, which is, I can't believe it. It's probably why you're not a politician anymore, because you were honest and you think and I just know, like, you just made a promise there that's like there's a lot of moving parts and particles and parts and supplies and people and weather and.
We're moving in the right direction, though. They're out there today. That's,
you know what I love
what
about you? This made you a great elected. You're optimistic.
Yeah, baby. You got to stay positive. Baltimore,
I've known
positive.
Miller forever. Miller probably knows it's going to be April and just playing along with you.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. No,
Do I have your relationship right?
I think if I'm right, yeah, he probably in the back of his head assumes that the whole building's going to fall down in the middle of the thing and it's going to be 10 years. And, you know, but he's a little bit on the cautious side. Let's
say. He'll be more like, as long as it's done by next spring, man, it's good. It's good. You know, so somewhere in there and we'll make that the fun thing. You know, I'm going to make it April 1. You can go with January 1. I'll give Miller April 2 and after. And here's what we got to figure out. And this is where Johnny O comes in. The ribbon cutting on Colgate, which I drive by every day and looks lovely, by the way. It looks like I want to get on the swing set and the monkey bars. They still call them monkey. I don't know. Or your ribbon cutting. So I'm betting on Colgate because they've been at it longer. But I also know that Mark cracks the whip around there. So, you know, hopefully, you know, January 1, I'm sipping tea in a beautiful new sitting room with. And I'd like an Earl Grey. I mean, it doesn't have to be a green tea, maybe a matcha. And I want to sit there. I'll just bring some Rofo coffee. And I want to sit with like in a water wall. If anything awful ever happens to me, right. I need to have that kind of an experience with you, Todd.
Sounds good. Hey, before you go, I got to say, somebody's going to say, I have my daughter with me today. This is Cecilia.
Cecilia,
I don't think
very important
you.
Question for Cecilia, oh, okay?
Hold on.
Very, very important. And this is going to, all right. Cecilia, hi, how are you?
Good.
How old are you?
Eight.
Eight. All right. And this is really important. You're a Browns fan or you're a Ravens fan?
Both.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's both. Such not a good age. She's ready for politics, brother. We just talked about this. See? See what happens?
We're going to get her. We lost her brother. We're going to get her.
We didn't green room that at all. It just out of the mouth of babes.
Indeed.
Wait till I get her going on Maryland and Ohio State. Todd Schuller here. You know she can't go to Calvert Hall, right?
I don't know. She might be the first female class at Calvert Hall, for all I know.
When my wife and I were on the road, we were out in Frederick. I've never been to Frederick in my life, okay? And I loved Frederick. We're going to go. One of the reasons I'm doing 31 crab cakes next summer on behalf of the Maryland Lottery is because I want to go back to communities. I went past Hood College, and I had many female friends of mine who went to Hood College when I was a female, and I had to explain to my wife. So my wife was Googling it, you know what I mean, while we were driving along. So this is how you learn things. You drive places, you see things, and you Google them. So there.
All right.
We'll get her into Calvert Hall's female. I don't know. I have to talk to Frank Kelly and everybody about that. We'll have to find
out. All right.
Mercy, mercy me. There you go. There he goes, Todd Schuller, trying to figure out how to put these children through private school and turn them into Ravens fans as well. As long as she's not a Steelers fan, we'll all figure that out. Amen. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore sports, Lamar Jackson victories, and a date in Detroit this week at 1:00.